More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Teich. As we head into the dog days of summer, Major League Baseball heads into the heart of its season. Millions of fans around the country travel to ballparks to cheer on their favorite teams. And in the midst of all the peanuts and Cracker Jack, it's easy to forget there was a time when the major leagues were in dire straits and several franchises were in danger of shutting down. During World War II, so many ball players had volunteered to fight or been drafted that owners began to worry about maintaining their teams and their ballparks. That sent Chicago Cubs owner Philip K. Wrigley in search of a solution. As fans of the popular Penny Marshall film A League of Their Own well know, the answer was the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. The league existed from 1943 to 1954 and played a hybridized version of softball and baseball throughout the Midwest. At its height, the league drew more than 900,000 fans in a season. More than 600 talented women played in the league. We'll talk with one of those players in a bit. And while the AAGPBL Association is still active today, we're losing more of these athletes every day. But a new amateur league is hoping to keep the history of these professional ball players alive. Lake Effect's Stephanie Lecce takes us out to the ballgame to learn more about the World War II Girls Baseball Living History League.
They're not actually the members of the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League, but the women gathered at the ball field at Old World, Wisconsin in Eagle certainly look the part, with their skirted tunic uniforms, curled hair, and yes, lipstick. It's the retro uniform code of the World War II Girls Baseball Living History League, an homage to the original.
We're not trying to impersonate any of them because they were pros and the best, and none of us play or can measure up to how good they were.
Bartlett, Illinois resident Rebecca Tulloch founded the league 3 years ago after the former World War II reenactor and her friend began tossing the ball around in their vintage uniforms.
And so we met at an event and started playing catch-catch. I said, we should get a league. So I said, well, I guess there's no league out there, because I looked around to see if there was. I said, I guess I have to start one. So
the current incarnation includes the four original teams of the league's 1943 inaugural season: the Kenosha Comets, the Racine Belles, the Rockford Peaches, and the South Bend Blue Sox.
Yeah.
The teams play competitive, fast-pitched, 12-inch softball, just like the original 1943 teams, at living history sites and museums mostly throughout Wisconsin, Illinois, and Indiana. And most of the players wear the number of an original league member.
I'm playing number 19 for Betty Jane Mozinski.
Rockford Peach, I'm number 15, and that's Dottie Green. She was a catcher and then a chaperone later on.
My number's number 10. I'm representing Dottie Schroeder. She was the youngest player in the league. She joined at the age of 14, and she played all 12 years of the league.
Number 20 was Ann Harnett. She was the first player to sign with the league, and she helped design the uniform along with Mrs. Wrigley and their art directors.
I'm number 12. I'm representing Anna Mae Hutchinson, who is a pitcher for the Belles. She was also a teacher, which I'm a teacher. So although I'm not a pitcher, I try to be, but I'm not a pitcher. I think we have a lot in common. I want to play out of respect for her.
Judy Vanderford, a Racine Belle from Kenosha, says honoring the women who played is a key part of the Living History League's purpose. Her mother, Joyce Hill Westerman, played for Racine and several other teams over many seasons. But when Vanderford was growing up, few knew about the professional women ballplayers.
I understood, but nobody else seemed to understand, because they didn't know about the league or anything that happened. Because after the women finished, everybody just kind of forgot about it. And until the movie came out, the women didn't receive the recognition they did for starting a sport that was strictly a men's sport until then.
The movie Vanderford is referring to is, of course, the classic Penny Marshall film A League of Their Own. Naturally, it's a favorite among most of the players. It even inspired Valparaiso, Indiana resident Nancy Williams to join the Living History League as a member of the South Bend Blue Sox.
I've played softball all my life. And when I watched the movie, I saw the original players coming back and playing. And I thought, you know what, when I'm their age, I still want to be playing ball. So I saw an article in the local paper and I gave them a call and came out to a game and joined.
But the movie itself is 20 years old, and Vanderford worries that its hold on the public imagination and memory is fading.
The movie's been done for a while, and even though it comes on once in a while, it's kind of phasing out a little bit. And I think we need to keep this piece of history alive. And I hope that this reenactment league continues to grow and flourish and hopefully draw more and more interest, because I think it's something that we need to do.
So the women play hard and focus harder on preserving the history of the original league.
It kind of combines two loves. I love history and I love playing softball. I love that the two have collided in this, you know, awesome way.
Rachel Neubauer plays first base for the Kenosha Comets. She's also the period clothing coordinator at Old World, Wisconsin. She says the players are committed to authenticity, from their coiffed hair down to their cleats.
We try and do as much as we can to be authentic, but, you know, it's hard to find metal cleats. They're hard to find because nobody uses them anymore. So we kind of cheat a little bit on using modern cleats. You know, we try and make sure we keep all the plastic water bottles and that kind of stuff hidden away, so we make the experience for any visitors as true as we can make it.
That, of course, includes the uniforms and the infamous skirts. Kathy Wagner of the New Rockford Peaches says she likes the attention to historical detail.
It's a first, and I don't mind it at all. It's kind of airy.
The players even recreate a popular mid-inning tradition from the professional league, trying to knock down billboards of the Axis leaders. Of course, the kids helping today's players sometimes need a history lesson.
He's the dictator of Italy, and then Tojo is the dictator in Japan, and then that's Hitler. He's kind of the dictator of everybody. All right, on your mark, get set, go!
From the excitement of the game to the uniforms, the crowds love it all. At Old World, Wisconsin, there are easily 200 spectators. Harkening back to the servicemen who would come out to games during the war, there are even some servicemen and women about to ship out to Afghanistan in the modern crowd. But among the Living History League's biggest supporters are the original players themselves, which makes Racine Bell, Gail Gilly, a little nervous.
I want to, you know, play the best I can. I'm sure they were way better than I am.
In the Old World, Wisconsin crowd is professional baseball player Joyce Westerman, who's watching her daughter and granddaughter play on the Racine Bells, a team she played on herself. She says the new league is the way to preserve her and the other women's story.
This is what has to do it, because otherwise it's just going to fall by the wayside, and we worry about our league and our association and all that stuff, because who's going to remember us soon? So they will keep the league alive if they don't give up on it.
Since the original league folded in 1954, only a handful of women have played baseball professionally, all on independent minor league teams. But no pro women's league exists today. And that's curious, since the pioneering women ballplayers inspired generations of girls to become involved in athletics.
It really gave me a hero growing up.
Heather Vanderford is Joyce Westerman's granddaughter.
It gave me someone to look up to, someone to admire, someone that had stepped out of what was expected and done something great.
She wishes there were more professional opportunities for young women like herself, but in the meantime, Rachel Neubauer says this amateur league will have to do.
It's all about getting out there, playing and having some fun, and then teaching spectators about the history and about that little slice of professional women's baseball that we can boast about.
When it comes to the fans at Old World, Wisconsin, at least, these ballplayers have knocked it out of the park. For Lake Effect, I'm Stephanie Lecce.
Lake Effect. Stephanie Lecce took us out to Old World, Wisconsin in Eagle, where the Kenosha Comets played the Rockford Peaches / South Bend Blue Sox / Racine Bells. The Kenosha Comets will be playing the Bells and Blue Sox at Trimborn Farm in Greendale this Sunday afternoon. You can find more information, hear more about the league as supplemental audio, plus see a slideshow of the game at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. We briefly met Joyce Westerman in Stephanie's piece. After the break, we'll have a more in-depth chat with her about her unique place in baseball history. This is Lake Effect from WUWM.
Mm-hmm.